Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Stella Bronson to commence another episode of Office Wife.
Benny Puller came back from playing golf with Tressida Bendigo the other day, practically livid. Bendigo told him that Marcia was going away for 2 or 3 years. And that doesn't suit Mr. Puller a scrap. Because he wants Jeff and Marcia to get together again. You know why. Anyway, I'm not going to worry about it. This is Friday, the day of the dinner party. It'll be the first time I've ever been to a party with Jeff, sort of formally. And I'm going to love every minute of it. Come in. Ah, it's you, Jeff. Benny just rang. Everything's set for tonight.
Oh, good. Where is the old buffer? Isn't he coming in?
He's going to a conference. And don't call him an old buffer.
Sorry.
It's good to see you with a grin on your face. You looking forward to tonight?
I suppose so.
Don't show any enthusiasm, whatever you do.
Would you like me to do a hornpipe?
You probably would if Marcia had been asked.
How you love to harp on Marcia.
And how you love to fend me off.
I don't fend you off.
You never do anything else. Anyway, if you've only come in here to pass the time of day, clear off and let me get some work done.
I want your file number 625B.
Well, get it out yourself. You know where they live.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff.
Yeah?
Will you do something for me tonight?
What?
Forget Marcia. Just for 5 minutes.
Oh? Why?
Oh, what's the use?
How does it look, Stella? Everything up to the mark?
Perfect. But what's this extra chair? 1, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13, 14.
You never sit 13 at the table. If you're 13, you put in an extra chair.
Oh. What's the matter with me? Where have you put Jeff? Oh, right up near the head. I'll be miles away.
Never mind. Leave things as they are. Now, how's the clock? 7:20. They'll be arriving any minute. You look wonderful, Stella. I'm proud of you. Too bad you don't grace my house always.
Let's hope I grace it tonight.
Try not to spend too much time with anyone in particular. That's all, my dear.
Did you have anyone special in mind?
You know darn well I did. Now come along. While we're waiting, we may as well sit down. Oh, have you people met? Barney and Mary French, Titus Green, Frenesy Green.
That looks like the lot, Jeff. Everyone's here.
Oh, not everyone, apparently.
But I can't have noticed them. Who the dickens can this be? Jeff, give me strength. Just look who's walked in the door.
It's Marcia. Whose idea was this?
She wasn't asked. Oh, really, this is ridiculous. I won't stand
for you it. Must have known she was coming.
Don't talk like a fool. Would I drag Marcia to a party with you and me? I'm beginning to see the light. Wait till I get my hands on Benny Puller.
Good evening, Mr. Puller. I had a look round. I think I know everyone.
Oh, that's fine. Have you said hello to Stella? She's hostess for tonight. Oh, here she comes now.
Hello, Marcia. How are you? Benny, can I have a word, please?
Not now, Stella. We'll be going in a few minutes.
You'll excuse us, won't you, Marcia?
Of course. Hello, Titus. Where's Frenesy?
You mean trickster, Benny Puller. You asked her. You deliberately asked Marcia Pilgrim here to get to see Jeff again. Those seats, you put them side by side.
Can't this wait, Stella?
No, it cannot. I think you played a beastly, miserable trick. I think this party's more for the benefit of those two than for your nephew.
Stella, I insist that this will have to wait. Now go and take George's arm and lead the way into dinner. Old Mrs. Tweed will be doing a jitterbug after we let her soup go cold.
I won't dance with you, Jeff, and I don't want to talk to you.
Well, we're going to look pretty conspicuous if we don't.
I don't care if I'm as conspicuous as a pole sitter. I won't dance with you.
Well, please yourself. Did you know I was going to be here?
If I had, I wouldn't have come.
If you like, I'll toss you to see which of us leaves now.
Oh, don't be absurd.
I must say you look jolly good. Delightful, in fact.
What about Bronson?
If you mean Stella, I'd say it was about a toss-up. Here's Benny.
Why aren't you two dancing? What's the matter? Everyone else is.
Well, Marcia? She's a little bit terse, actually, Mr. Fuller. She didn't know I was going to be here.
Balderdash. I told her on the phone a couple of days ago. She rang me especially to find out.
Mr. Fuller!
Rich. Really it is.
Now, you get down off your pedestal, Marcia, and come to your senses. Because if you don't grab the check, I can tell you Stella Bronson soon will.
She's welcome.
If she's welcome, what are you doing here? Go. Out you get, the pair of you. Out onto the floor.
Oh, I suppose I may as well give in with a good grace. You look wonderful too, Jeff.
That's a bit more like it. Now you're in the groove. Good man, Hooper. You're right on time. Are you sure you know your stuff?
How are they getting on?
Better than I expected. I wouldn't be surprised to see Pilgrim take his wife home.
This setup reminds me of a movie I saw once. Pilgrim will take his wife home and Palmer will be jealous. So that if they have an argument, Palmer will be able to say, "She may be your wife, but she's engaged to me." Ha, 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 ha.
Pretty corny. You better get going before they start arguing again.
Who are you looking at, Marcia?
Hmm? Oh, that rather tough-looking customer standing there. He wasn't at dinner.
Oh, well, that's Cedric Hooper. He has something to do with Benny Puller. Nobody seems to know exactly what.
I saw him one evening about a week ago. He knocked someone's glass over at Curassius. Oh, he's coming our way.
Evening, Pilgrim.
Oh, hello, Hooper. Have you met my wife? Marcia, this is Cedric Hooper.
How do you do? I know your face, Mrs. Pilgrim. Never forget a face. That's me. Now, let me think now. Curassius, you were...
I was just telling my husband about it.
You were? Would you care for this one, Mrs. Pilgrim, if I might... Yes, that was bad luck the other night. You were with Harry Palmer. We had to investigate him.
Whatever for?
Well, you see, I'm an investigator on claims for insurance companies. Your uncle was covered with us, and you know that embezzlement? Well, we had to cough up the £1,800 that was never accounted for. I'm trying to get hold of it now.
Well, you certainly won't get it from Harry Palmer.
Oh, Palmer's all right. He's in the clear. We checked on him. You might be surprised to hear that we know who got that £1,800.
You know who has it?
Sure we do. All we have to do now is get it back before it's all gone. You've no idea the difficulties we come up against when these smart cookies start embezzling.
No, please. Can't you talk about something else?
Oh, don't let it get you down, Mrs. Pilgrim. Tell you how a little thing can stump you on an embezzlement case. Take your boyfriend, Harry Palmer, now. He was at Mount Greenbrier the day the swindle was begun. That had us properly bamboozled.
I can't see anything mystifying about that.
Did you ever happen to ask him how he got up there that day?
As a matter of fact, he told me. His car was laid up. He went to Mount Greenbrier by train.
No, he couldn't have. You have a look at a timetable first chance you get, and you'll see what I mean.
Are you trying to tell me that Palmer wasn't at Mount Greenbrier that day?
All I'm saying is, he didn't get up there by train.
But you... He told me...
It was impossible. Palmer didn't leave the Bendigo building till close on 11 that day.
Look, will you excuse me, please? Not feeling very well.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Pilgrim. Have I been talking too much?
Yeah, I'm all right. I just don't want to dance. Do you mind if I join my husband?
I know. Of course not. Where is he? Oh, I can see him. Talking to Mr. Puller. I haven't dropped any bricks telling you about Palmer, have I?
Not at all. I'm afraid I was hardly listening. Thank you, Mr. Hooper.
Any time.
You don't look too good, Marcia. Everything all right?
Jeff, take me out into the garden, will you, please? I simply must talk to you.
That worked rather well. Though you say it yourself, Puller, it was pretty shrewd. Marcia's heard Jeff accuse Palmer before, and each time Palmer's managed to justify himself and wriggle in deeper. But this time, no direct accusation, not even from a stranger. That cast iron proof of a lie. That'll make her think. And Bendigo, too. You're going to have some explaining to do, Harry Palmer.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.